Be'ezras Hashem, we begin Perek Sheni, the second chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Schiris and the laws of rentals in the Sefer Mishpatim, the Book of Judgment, which in this Perek we continue the thing that we started in the previous Perek regarding the four Shomrim, where in this Perek we discuss specifically those that do not qualify for the halacha of Shomrim, of being one of the guardians. As the Rambam begins halacha off regarding hektish, properties of the Gentiles, land, slave, documents. Shlesha dinim, hamurim atoyle babo ha-shomrim. There are three laws that we said in the previous parak that were said in regards to four shomrim, because two of the four are the same. So those three laws that are said in the Torah by the four shomrim, in Elam, they only qualify for the metalim, movable items, shal Yisrael of a Jew, shal hadir, and of a regular person. Shalom like says in the Pasuk, in Shemais, kesef v'kelim, money or vessels, etc., chol behem, and every animal. What do you see from the common denominator of the examples being used? Is yotzer karkois. First of all, it excludes property which they're not a movable item like money and vessels. V'yotzavad notes excludes slaves, shehukshel karkois, where the pasuk equates them, v'snachaltam oistam l'resha sachuze, when it talks about slaves, it compares it to inheritance of like properties. So it has the same halacha like karkois, which is excluded. And v'yotzer shtaris also excludes documents, in gufamam, where the document does not have intrinsic monetary value like monies and vessels. And v'yotzer also excludes hekdashes. Where do we say excluding hekdash, which is property owned by the base of Mikdash by Hashem? Shalom, like it says in the pasuk, ki nishal re'eu. It qualifies when it says when a man will give to his friend, which Hekdash is not a friend. But also, b'yotzer nechse gum, it also excludes the properties of Gentiles, which are also not included in re'ehu, his friend. So, mekana mecham, from here the sages say, havodim, slaves, bashtars, and documents, vakakoyes, and property, vaktashas, and Hekdash. Shemechinim, unpaid custodian, shalahem, of those items, and the nishba doesn't have to take an oath to exempt himself. And the paid custodian or the renter in the doesn't have to pay for the theft. Now, but if let's say they make an acquisition from him with a kinyan b'sudda, with a kerchief, to say that he's going to be responsible, like when he's watching movable items, then he's going to be responsible for his insurance. Halacha beis. Now, b'tikna chum, the sages institute, however, shenishboin alekdeishes, that you do have to swear on a hektish item, shvuas hashemim, the oath of that the guardians have to take, kein shalter, like that of the biblical case, k'deish l'yisal sol b'hektishes, that one does not disgrace hektish item, saying, oh, I'm not responsible, he's not going to be careful, so they instituted a rabbinic oath. Halacha gimel. However, regarding negligence on property, slaves, and documents is different. Says Ram Yerol, it appears to me, shempasha hashemir, if the custodian was negligent, ba'avodim, in the case of slaves, or k'itzvim, in similar cases like we said regarding real estate and documents, chayiv l'shalom, then he does have to pay. Why? She'in the part of ba'avodim ha'kosh ha'shtoyis, because this whole exemption that we have is slaves and properties and documents, element in geneva v'avedo mesa k'itzvim, is only from theft and when it was lost and death and things similar like that. Where? Shemhoya shemechinim ha'matatlin, that had he been an unpaid custodian, unmovable item, v'nigdim ha'avodim, it would have been stolen or lost. Yishaveh, he would swear to say, hey, it was beyond my pay grade, you know, I'm not responsible for those things. Regarding slaves and properties and documents, they always say, oh, that he's going to be exempt from an oath. And so, let's say he was a paid custodian. Not only swear, he actually has to pay if it's stolen or lost by movable items. So, say in those cases, he's actually going to be exempt from even paying. Regarding if he was negligent in it, then he has to pay, and the reason is shekola b'sheya, because whoever's negligent, maziku. It's not just a halacha in a custodian in the passive way, it's actually he's considered a damager, and because he was negligent, bein hefesh, bein din hamazik karka, and there's no difference if someone damages property, le din hamazik betalim, to damaging movable items. And says Ram, but in emes huzeh lemavinim, this is a true judgment to those who understand this, v'chein ro, lod, and so too it's appropriate to educate such a case. V'chein ho, rabbi, so too my teachers ruled, sham moise karmel hashem, if someone gives over his vineyard to a guardian. Bein by this is whether through an act of sharecropping, where he shares some of the profits, bein b'shmei eschinim, whether he's guarding it without any pay. But v'hisnima, he stipulated him, sheyachbe, that he should dig, or yizma, he should prune it, or yabek, or he should throw some dust on the roots of the trees to make it healthy, mishaloif, from his own. And he's negligent and doesn't do it, Chayiv is going to be liable for the loss that was caused for the trees of the vineyard that he didn't work it. Like as if he actively damaged it. And also all these types of cases where he actively damages it, Chayiv akapon, he's going to be liable at least in those cases. Halacha dalet. Regarding situations, how to qualify them. So, if someone gives over to his friend, someone that's connected to the ground, to guard. Even if the grapes that's ready to be harvested, where they're totally matured and they don't need the ground at all, where in certain halachas they're actually considered disconnected, but in Harein Kekarka B'din HaShemrim, regarding the laws of Shemrim, it has the halacha like karka, which we said karka does not qualify with the halacha of Shemrim. Halacha Hei, Hifkid Hektish. Now regarding the one of the other categories. Let's say someone deposited a Hektish item, which also does not qualify the laws of Shemrim. But then he redeems it and makes it back to Chulim, because he pays Hektish for the value, and now the money gets Hektish, and now the item becomes unconsecrated. Now it's unconsecrated, when he's taking it back from the custodian, and there was a situation of an oinus that happened when it was by the Shemer. Or the other way around. He lent it to him when it was Chulin. And he was Makdash, he sanctified it when it was in the possession of the bar. Or a Gentile was deposited, and then he converted, so now he's a Jew. Which also, we said, it doesn't apply by Gentiles. But now he's a Jew. So, kol elu, all these cases, in ben kol din Hashem, they will not have all the halachas of a Shemer, until from the beginning and the end, you have nichse hedit, as the asset of a commoner, not hektish, and nichse sol, that of asset of a Jew, not that of a Gentile. And that is to be beginning and end. Halacha Vav continues regarding how to give the rights of the claims of these laws of Shemrim, and who qualifies for that. So Echad Ish ve'Echad Isha, whether man or woman, but then Hashemrim are the same for the laws of the custodians. Bin Shaya Dava Hashem Shal Isha, whether the watched item was from a woman, or she was the Shemrim, either one of those parties will be the same. Halacha Zayin, Katan, Shehifke Biyad Gadol. If a minor deposits something by an adult, or Yeshila lends it to an adult, that adult will have to swear the oath of custodians, which that is mandated for certain situations to take oaths, and that is even to this one who deposited him to a minor. Now, my teachers ruled, this is not what's called swearing for the claim of a minor, because it's not really the claim of the minor that's making the oath on the shamer. Because if that would be the case, that you would say, which is a Talmudic dictum, we don't make an oath for the claim of a minor, because it's not true, it's not for the claim of the minor. All the custodians, it's really an oath of maybe, which is not the strength of the claim. And therefore, it has nothing to do with the child, it's more about the custodian himself, and therefore he has to take an oath. Halacha Ches continues regarding the acceptance of responsibility regarding guarding this object. So, just like the sage instituted a kinyan, an acquisition of drawing something by a consumer, where if someone's buying something for someone else, that it goes over to his possession when he pulls it, so they instituted this halacha meshicha of drawing something for custodians. And then he becomes a shomer once he does the meshicha. Now, if someone says to his friend, shomer li zeh, guard, watch this for me. And he says, anach lefana, put it in front of me. That statement already says that he's watching it, albeit not getting paid for it. So it's a shemichinim. Now, Amalei, but let's say he says to him, Hanach lefenecha, put it in front of you. Or Hanach stam, he just says, put it down. Or Shemalei says to him, look, Harei b'ayis lefenecha, the house is open for you. Einu lo shemichinim lo shemesach, he's not an unpaid guardian, he's not a paid custodian. And me'enecha v'shul klal, he's not liable for an oath at all, because he didn't say, I'm watching. He says, go ahead, put it down, do whatever you want to do. Now, avo machrim, but the owner could make a cherim, which the sage, the ge'enims instituted, that one could impose an excommunication in a situation where there's no actual responsibility for an oath on the defendant, but he can make a cherem on whoever took his deposit and not giving back to the owner, because this guy's claiming that he was not a shamer. And all that's similar to that. And even though he's not a shamer, but he still has responsibility, at least with the cherem. Also, a related halacha is that we cannot use a migui to exempt from a shvua. So echad amafkid, whether one was entrusting an object, or a hamashal, or he's lending an object, or a masker, or he's renting an object as chaber to his friend, and he did it be'edim with witnesses, or he should lay be'edim without witnesses, doesn't make a difference. Din echad yeshlem, they all have the same halacha. Kevin shahid is a meaning. Once this guy admitted mepi'atzmai on his own, shashamaloi, that he was watching this item for that person, shashamaloi, or he did borrow from him, it is a nishba shvua, shashem, he has to make the oath of the custodians, meaning, why do you have to swear? Because you don't say migoy is an Aramaic word meaning since, which is a claim, I could have said something else. You cannot use that to exempt yourself from an oath. You can only use it to exempt from monetary payment. Because in actuality, an oath is coming to verify the truth of what the person is claiming. That's more of an imperative than the claim of the migoy, which also verifies saying, well, he must be saying the truth because he could have said something better. It's not true, because maybe he'll admit the truth only when he has the severity of not making a false oath, and therefore he cannot exempt him to verify his claim even though he has a migoy, unless he actually makes the oath. Now, another related halacha is, even if the borrowed or deposited or rented item was just worth a pruta, the lowest denomination of currency, that would be enough to make the custodian take an oath on it. More, we don't have to have the halacha, which oftentimes a defendant has to have what's called moedim mixes, has to admit the part and deny part, that would make him liable. Here, no, even if you deny the whole thing, that would still mandate the shemir to make this oath of the shemir. Halacha test, what happens if the stipulations regarding the responsibility of the shemir on either way? Let's say masna shemichinim. Let's say the unpaid custodian makes a stipulation, says, "Look, I'll watch of you. I'm not getting paid, but at least part of mishvah, I want to be exempt from an oath. I don't have to swear that I didn't do anything wrong." And let's say, or v'hashayil, a borrower, least part of mishvah, he says, "I want to borrow it from you, but I don't want to have to be responsible if something happens." And v'chei masna balabakadin. Let's say the other way around. Let's say the owner of the deposit, he stipulates al shemichinim on the unpaid custodian, or on the one who's getting paid for it, or the renter. Lis chayev makol. He says, "Look, I'll lend it to you. I want you to watch it. But as long as you're taking full responsibility, kasha like a bar, that's going to work." The reason is called tnai b'mamon. Any conditions that relate to monetary situations, oy b'shavur shalmamon regarding monetary oaths, kaim is valid. Ve'in tzarkin, you don't have to have any acquisition. Vle'edim, you don't have to have witnesses, and therefore their stipulation is valid. Halachayod. Now, let's say toan zeh. Let's say the owner claims shayichim tonight that there was a stipulation that the shamer was willing to take responsibility like a borrower, which is responsible for everything. Hashemer, I mean, the borrower says, Lahoyishim tonight. There was no such stipulation. So Nishba Hashem is Shvus Hashemer. So the guardian has to swear the oaths of the guardians, which every Shemer has to swear for certain parts of the transaction. But a Magalgalba, now, the owner can now then devolve, then have it roll on, that he has to swear now other things. It's called Gilgul Shavuos, L'hoi Yisham Tanai. He also swear that there was no stipulation also that you're taking full responsibility. Halacha Yud Aleph continues regarding the shamer that denies accepting even that he's going to be a shamer. So Toyin Shehifkar Etzlai, let's say the owner claims that he deposited by him. B'zayimah, and the defendant says, Lo Yimarti, I didn't say Elohamach Lefinach, I just put it down in front of you. V'lo Yimarti Shalisham, I never became a custodian for him. So Nishba Heses, so he has to take a rabbinic oath, Shalai Kibloi, they didn't accept that person's item only the way that he's claiming. And Vekoil B'Shavasa, now he has to include in his oath all the oaths of the Shemer. Shalai Shalach B'Yad, that he didn't touch it, believe that he died, he didn't actively destroy it. V'loi B'Grom Shagrom L'Shich HaVashem, and not that he caused in any indirect way that he would be liable to pay, and then he's exempt. Halochid Beis, let's say Zel Emer, let's say this one says, Hishalticha, I lent it to you, Oizkarticha, or I rented it to you, Oizkarticha, I deposited by you. V'aloim, and the defendant says, what's called Lahadam, which is the acronym of Lohoy Dvar Ma'ilm. This thing was never what you're talking about. Oishamor, he says, Ken, you know, it's true what you're saying. Avalech Zartiloch, I give it back to you. Minestal Kashmira, and the guardianship has already ended. V'lenish should have been in it for you, and there's no claim between us. So the defendant takes the rabbinic oath because he's denying the whole claim, which biblically you're not responsible if you deny a full claim. V'niftra, and he's off the hook. Even if he deposited with witnesses, he's still believed to say he gave it back, because if someone deposits something in front of witnesses, he does not have to give it back in front of witnesses. Now, but remember, when we say this, that if he claims they gave it back to you, he takes this rabbinic oath only, it's called a shalahoyer shom shtar. If there's no document over there. But let's say he deposited or rented him or lent him with a document saying that he lent it to him, and he says to him, well, I give it back to you. Then the garden has to swear not just a rabbinic oath, has to swear holding a holy object like biblical law. Why? So what the Rambam is addressing right now is that the reason why, if we have a shtar, why can't we make him pay then, even though the document is by the mafkid, by the owner, which supports his claim that it was never given back to him, is no. And the reason why that is because since the unpaid custodian could say, yeah, you're right, you lent to me. I could have said that it was stolen or lost, and I would have been off the hook. Vashal, the borrower, could have said Mason Mishas Malach had died during the work, which he would have also been exempt. So because of that, Nemon Lemechazat, he's believed to say I give it back, even though you have a document, because I could have gotten out of the hook that way. Now, if that's the case, so now the Rambam is trying to explain the other way. If that's the case, so this that we make him take an oath with holding a holy object, and not just a rabbinic oath, like when the claim is without a document, is because Now, yes, just like had you claimed that there was an oinus beyond his control, nishba min haterem in the kiddush chametz, he would have to make a biblical oath of holding a holy object, because he would be agreeing that there was such a shmirah, he's just trying to get off the hog. So, then the same thing if he claims he gave it back, then yishav ken shetor, he has to make then like the biblical oath, since anyways the claimant does have a document. In other words, the whole strength of the document is contending with the migui, that he could, I could have said I was stolen or was oinus. Yeah, had you said that you would have been chayv shvu withholding a holy object, and therefore your claim, is which is only being supported with that migui, cannot let you off from the hook, at least of making an oath with Nikita Schaefetz, or holding a holy object. Now, when we say this, only if the guardian could have said, and the claim, then so that it was an oinus, and that he would not have had to bring a proof regarding his claim. Okay, so then that's where the previous halacha applies. But if he would have had to bring a proof regarding his claim, for example, let's say he claims that the oinus happened in a situation where it's a place where there's many people over there. Like we explain in the next parak, halacha aleph, that then he has to bring proof that that the people saw the oinus, then in an emel merzati, then he's not believed to say I give it back, but with witnesses, ella, because how could you say that? Because again, it's coming from the claim, and the claim would not be believed. Rather, here you have to take an oath of the other party now. The owner of the document, he swears, but the kid is holding all the objects, that he did not pay him back, and vishalim, and then he collects. And the Ram explains, in Chomisha Nishba, there is no one who swears and is exempt from paying when he has a migu, that since he could have said such and such. And that the Yishav and the Kiddush Chavetz has to swear like a biblical halach of holding a holy object. Only this case that we discussed before of this Shomer, Shiyash Alav Shtar, that there's a document saying that he was a Shomer. Because like we said, even on the claim of the Migui, he would have been Chayev. Whatever he's claiming, he could have said, itself would have been Chayev when the Kiddush Chavetz. So here also, he's going to have to do it with holding a holy object. Avashar Kol Nishban, but all of the cases when the guy swears, but din, through the medium of the halacha, Mitech Shech Lema, when he has a Migui that, oh, since I could have said something else, then Einishban El Hesed, that really would have gotten him off the hook. He only has to make a rabbinic oath, because in those situations of the claim of the Migo of Lahadam, that it was never the case, really, essentially, that's only rabbinic oath, because you're denying everything. So therefore, it generally would not require in the case of Chavetz. But here, where that is only taking you to a situation where itself you would have been Chayim, would a Nikita Chavetz, say, you're also going to have to do it in the Nikita Chavetz.